It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the heart of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
Thanks, Catherine. Let's pray together as we come to this psalm. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Heavenly Father, may those words be true for us this evening. May we find ourselves as people hoping in you alone. May we find our hearts lifted towards you, rejoicing in our salvation. And help us to trust in your name this evening as we learn from your word together. Amen. Well, C.S. Lewis is quite the flavour of the month. We heard a little about him this morning as she reminded us of Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, as it continues to do well at the cinema box office. C.S. Lewis was a man who was an atheist, a convinced atheist, and he became a Christian whilst he was a fellow at Magdalen College in Oxford in 1925. And after he became a Christian, a short while afterwards, he wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And he wrote it to put straight the record of how and why he became a Christian. And in it, he describes the quest that he'd always had in his life for happiness, for a satisfying, a deep sense of contentment or joy. The kind of joy that he said he occasionally knew, but that would escape through his fingers like sand. There were echoes of joy, but he didn't know it as a reality in his own life. And C.S. Lewis recalls in the book how surprised he was to discover joy in God, true happiness in him. This is what he says in the book, I think. I was now approaching the source from which those arrows of joy had been shot at me ever since childhood. No slightest hint was vouchsafed me that there ever would have been or ever would be any connection between God and joy. If anything, it was the reverse. I had hoped that the heart of reality might be of such a kind that we can best symbolize it as a place. Instead, I found it to be a person. Surprised to find that joy was a person, God himself. And the Psalms, of course, give expression to that same discovery, that when we come to know God and are known by him, we discover true and lasting joy in our lives. 101 times in the book of Psalms, joy or rejoicing is mentioned for God's people. And of course, the overflow of joy is always praise. 176 times, there's a call to praise God from a joyful heart. Well, I don't know what adjectives your friends would use to describe church or to describe Christians. Would they describe Christians as those who overflow with joy, whose mouths are full of praise to God? Well, when God's people meet, the book of Psalms tells us that's what it ought to be like. Look how our psalm begins with this call to God's people. Verse 1, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. Verse 3, sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. Joy and praise are the marks of God's people. And verse 21 tells us why. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. That is why we're full of joy. That is why joy overflows with praise, because we find ourselves trusting in God and in his name. And I guess our praise will only be as real as our joy, because praise is the outworkings of joy. And recovery of praise in our Christian lives will come from a rediscovery of joy in our Christian lives. So can I ask you, if you're a Christian here this evening, is your life marked by joy? Do you experience that in your own walk with God? Well, let's ask ourselves a few questions as we go along to discover whether that's the case. Firstly, what is joy? It's a good question to begin with. Can I say it's not the same as pleasure? We can all buy pleasure, can't we? Go down to the shop, get a tub of Haagen-Dazs, get a chocolate bar, just a nice cup of tea at the end of a day, a ticket to the cinema, and pleasure is the result. You can buy pleasure. Haagen-Dazs ran a series of adverts, "Pleasure is my path to joy," the advert went. Of course, it's not true. It just sells ice cream. For you see, in a world that's full of sensory pleasure and indulgence, there is scarce little joy to be found anywhere. Joy is not the same as pleasure. It's not the same as jollity either. It's not about being an extrovert, being a bouncy kind of tiggerish person. No, that's not what joy is. Joy doesn't depend on circumstances either. The Apostle Paul could rejoice even whilst he was in prison. How can you do that? Even the worst of circumstances could not deprive him of joy. No, you see, it's for this reason. Joy is actually a deep happiness of the heart. It's a deep satisfaction. It's a consistent contentment of the soul. And joy belongs to the Christian because of what we have in God and because of what we will one day receive from God. Joy is for the Christian. And joy is what Jesus came to give his people. Jesus said to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So Christian, Jesus came to bring you joy. Well, how do you get it then? How do you get joy? Well, I guess this psalm teaches us that joy comes and rejoicing comes from this conviction that God knows me, that God knows all about me, and that God is still for me. Joy comes from knowing that he has set his unfailing love upon me and has promised to deliver me from death. Look at verses 4 and 5. Here is the heart of the character of God. "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." Joy is rooted in God, in his character, and of course in our relationship with that God. Football fans at a match are, of course, typically fickle people, aren't they? The enjoyment of the game seems to rest on the performance of the team, and it can be so quickly taken away. 1 minute, the team is on top, and the fans are singing their hearts out. But all it takes is for the opponents to score a goal to take the lead, and the singing stops immediately. And it's the opponent's team who take up the taunt. "You're not singing anymore." Followed by, "You only sing when you're winning." Now, maybe football is happiness at its most vulnerable. Ask any Luton Town fan after yesterday. But it doesn't take much for us in our own lives to lose a sense of happiness. When life takes a turn for the worse, our joy, if it's based on the things of this world, is lost. The happiness evaporates in a moment if our circumstances change. And the psalmist says, don't look for joy in the circumstances of life. It must be rooted in God and his character. Jim Packer says, joy flows from awareness of being loved. And three times in this psalm, the psalmist reminds us of God's unfailing covenant love. Look at verse 5. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Verse 18. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. Verse 22. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. You see, if God is God, and God is a God who is for me, and God is a God who has set his unfailing love upon me, then I have a joy that the world cannot give and that the world cannot take away. It is mine in Jesus Christ. The trials, the tribulations can't rob me of my joy and my confidence because it's rooted in the character of God. And that is why Paul can say, I rejoice even in my chains. Or why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians that he is sorrowful yet rejoicing during some difficult circumstances in his life. Isn't that bizarre? Sorrowful yet rejoicing. How can you do that at the same time? Well, he's sorrowful because circumstances were against him in his life. But he was rejoicing because God was with him and God was for him. Now, you know Christians like that, don't you? You know Christians who are rejoicing regardless of their circumstances. You know those in whom, those who have a conviction that God is good. And that conviction is so unshakable that it doesn't seem to matter how difficult their days, they are still able to rejoice. You've met those people. And the Bible says it's only when you know the love, the unfailing love of God deep in your own heart and are confident in the character of God that that joy can be yours too. So this psalm, I think, will help us rediscover that joy. The psalmist, you say, says, sing joyfully because God has made everything. You can rejoice, Christian, when you remember that God is in control of this world. Then you can rejoice, Christian. God made everything. And that means there's nothing outside of his control. Verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Verse 9, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. If God created everything, he can have no rivals. There is no other deity who can threaten his position if the one God made everything. There isn't a bad force that might win out at the end of the day. There is one God who has set his unfailing love upon his people. Everything depends on him for its existence and sustenance. So, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of this world revere him. And you see, if you know the one true God who has made everything, and he has set his unfailing love upon you, doesn't that give you reasons to rejoice regardless of your circumstances? And if God is in ultimate control of this world, shouldn't I long to give him ultimate control of my life? That's, of course, why God is right to be angry when we don't do that. That's why verse 8 is a challenge as well as an encouragement. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Why? Because God made everyone. And we owe everything to God. Imagine if I borrow £100 off you and never pay you back. I never return your calls. Your emails go unanswered. I avoid you on the street. You'll come and find me, won't you? You'll want to have words with me if I've taken £100 from you and never even offered anything back in return. Well, of course, the Bible says we don't just owe God £100. We owe God our very being. We owe God everything. Should we not give him back everything? God made everything. And if we know God and his unfailing love, we can rejoice. And God rules everyone, is what this psalmist says in verses 10 and following. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. God is in control. Nothing happens to you that he does not permit. No circumstance unfolds in life that God is unaware of. There was a poll in December on the Today program, Who Runs Britain? Maybe you heard that one. Fourth place, the British people. The voter said 12% had confidence that the British people run Britain. 14% said Parliament. 15% of people in the poll said Rupert Murdoch runs Britain. Top, José Manuel Barroso, European Commission President. 22% of Britons think that he runs Britain. And Psalm 33 says, well, you're all wrong. You're all wrong. God runs Britain. He is active, foiling the plans of the nations whilst bringing about his good and perfect plans. So if you're a Christian, when you wake up tomorrow morning, will you wake up and remember God is in control? He made me. He rules over me. There is nothing in my life and no circumstance where God and his unfailing love will not sustain me. And will you not then rejoice? Do you believe, verse 11, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever? Do you see verse 15? He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything that they do. God formed your heart. God knows your heart. He knows your need. He's in control of everyone and everything. He has set his love upon you. Will you not rejoice? We live in uncertain times. People's lives are marked. It's written all over their faces. The stress, the anxiety, the uncertainty of life. Are we any different as Christians? Is that what written across our face as we go into work every day? That we're people just stressed out and anxious about our lives? Well, if you believe that life is a random accident, then I'm not surprised you might fear what tomorrow will bring. But amidst the difficulties of life, if you're a Christian, are we not able to say that we rejoice, that God is in control? Is that not marked across our face? That we have a confidence and a joy from the God who has made us and loves us. Well, why should you have a happiness in your heart this evening if you are a Christian? Well, it's because God has made you, God rules over you, and because he is powerful to save you. Look at verses 15 and 19. Sorry, I keep getting my verses wrong. 16 to 19. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love to deliver them from death. The key to joy is knowing that we're loved by God, not just today, but that we can be confident of tomorrow. If you can be confident of tomorrow as a Christian, your heart will be full of joy today. God is able to deliver you from death. And the degree of joy we can expect to find in our Christian lives surely rests on the degree of confidence that we have in God's goodness to save us. Orson Welles said, "Happy endings depend entirely on stopping the story before it's over." So think of all those films where the story ends at the wedding. You know, the romantic story, or where the couple get together and they go off into the sunset. And Orson Welles says, happy stories depend on a stop there. Because he says no story ends up as a happy story because of death. Unless, of course, the Bible is true. And there is one who can deliver us from death. And if that is the case, then we don't need to stop the film. Because God is able to deliver us and take us to enjoy his unfailing love forever in heaven if we are his. See, nothing in this life can deliver you from death. No king can ultimately be protected by all of his armies. The size of an army is not going to stop him eventually going into the grave. The plans and the purposes of men and women come ultimately to nothing in this world unless there is someone who can deliver them from death. And none of the things that we put our trust or confidence in, if they're rooted in this life alone, can therefore give us joy. Because we know ultimately they'll fail us. They're like thin ice with cracks all over them. You daren't take a step forward in life because you know ultimately it will come to nothing. It is only God who can ultimately deliver you from this life into the next one, in whom you can place your confidence and therefore find your joy and peace and contentment. That's why Christians should be joyful people, because only Christians have been delivered from death. That is why Christians can rejoice in this world now when the world dare not rejoice for fear of the future. So let me ask you this question. Where does your confidence rest tonight? What are you investing all of your hopes and dreams in? For you'll never find joy until your confidence and trust is in God and his unfailing love. Because you know deep down that nothing in this life can bear the weight of all of your expectations. Everything in this life you know will fail you, because death will have the victory at the end of the day. In your mind, you just hope you can stop the film at the happy moment. But deep down, you know you can't, and therefore your happiness is a light one. If you're a Christian, though, you can know this joy. And Jesus said, I came to give you this joy, because I have come to deliver you from death through my death on the cross, so that you are free from that burden. Find your joy in Christ. He came to give you that joy. Very briefly, two closing points. Where does joy lead to? Where does joy lead to? Well, it leads us back to verses 1 to 3. If I have this joy, I will sing joyfully to the Lord. Joy spills out into praise. Sing joyfully to the Lord. Shout for joy. The Christian can't keep joy just in his heart. Where there's trust in God, there is joy, and where there is joy, there is praise. And therefore, if your heart is overflowing with joy, you'll long to praise God. That is why C.S. Lewis also said joy is the serious business of heaven. That is where joy will be really found, when God's covenant love for us is complete and seen and fully known. And the joy that is the serious business of heaven will overflow in praise for all eternity. That's why you'll never be bored in heaven, because your heart will never stop overflowing with joy to God, and you will long to praise his name. We're all evangelists, do you know that? We all love to tell people good news. In this past year, I've been an evangelist for Welsh Rugby. Some of you will know that. You're an evangelist when you return from Aldi with a bargain, or from Sainsbury's with a 2-for-1. You're an evangelist when you come back from that gig wearing the T-shirt and you wear it for the next week because you want everyone to know that you were there. We're all evangelists. We long to spread good news. Now, if we rediscover joy in our Christian lives, we will rediscover an overflowing. We will want to tell others. We'll look for opportunities. We'll delight not just to sing praises to God here, but we'll love to tell people when we get home, when we're in work tomorrow. Not because we're driven by guilt, that evangelism is what Christians do, but because we love spreading good news. It's what everyone does. And we've the best news to tell. It's those who've rediscovered everything that they have in God who overflow with praise and tell the world. So in conclusion, how do you get joy back into your life? Well, verses 20 to 22, I think, give us the answer. And they seem to suggest that we need to rehearse over and over again in our minds and in our lives the reasons we have to rejoice. That's what the heart of this psalm have been about, haven't they? From verses 4 all the way through to 19, the psalmist has said, let me give you another reason to rejoice. Let me remind you about God. Let me teach you of his unfailing love, his goodness, his power, his control. And verses 20 and 22 say, rehearse those things in your mind. Dwell on those things. Consider those truths. We wait in hope for the Lord. Verse 21, in him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. It's easy for us as Christians just to take for granted what we have in Christ. Well, the book of Psalms helps us not to take those things for granted. The book of Psalms helps us to know how to praise, what to give thanks for, how to remember God's name, and through that, how to discover joy afresh. Remember that God is for you. He made you. He rules over you. His covenant love is upon you. Trust him in difficult days as well as good ones, for his eyes are upon you, and he will deliver you from death. Let's pray together. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Heavenly Father, we ask that the joy that Jesus came to give us would be a joy rediscovered in our own lives as we remember who you are and what you have done for us. Help us this night and through this week to reflect on your character, your goodness, to reflect on your plans which stand firm forever, and through those rediscover joy that overflows into praise. Give us opportunities to praise your name this week with those who know you, and with those who as yet don't know you, that you might be glorified amongst us. Amen.